Shalom to everybody. We're going to continue in Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat, where the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the cave continues. And here, Davka, we're going to talk about clothing and Rav Kook's symbol, the symbolism of clothing. And it's very suitable to talk about this right after Purim, because Purim is the holiday of getting dressed up. And Megillat Esther talks a lot about the clothing, where Esther gets dressed up and Mordechai gets dressed up, and then he takes off his clothing and puts them on. And in fact, Purim is the reenactment of when Yaakov, who was the first Jew in the Tanakh to dress up, where Rebecca puts on the hands, the hairy hands, and the clothing of Esav onto Yaakov. And it's obviously not a coincidence that the grandson of Esav is Amalek, and that the idea of dressing up, Yaakov dressing up like Esav, and we dressing up, is all connected with Megillat Esther, the idea of revealing that which is hidden. And it's interesting that in Hebrew, there are three main words for clothing, and all of them mean the same thing. The idea of beged, clothing, is from the word livgod, to betray, because the outside betrays what there is inside. And the same thing, ksut, the word in Hebrew ksut also, which is used for clothing, is from the word lichasot, to cover. And also the third word, levush, is from the word bush, to be embarrassed. And levush is something that you wear so that you're not embarrassed. Now, all of this, these are famous ideas. What we're going to see is that Rav Kook goes, as usual, in a different direction. So let's see it together. I'll put on the share screen. And here we go. Source number one. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat, again, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is running away from the Romans, and he hides in a cave. And the Gemara tells us, Be'idan Seluta, when it was time to daven, when it was time to pray, Havulavshu Michsu Umatzlu, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, would put on their clothing in honor of prayer, Ve'hadar Meshalchi Manayu Kihechi Delo Livlu, and when they finished prayer, they would take off their clothing, and then cover themselves up to the neck in sand. And the idea was so that their clothing should not get worn out. They didn't know how long they were going to be in the cave. In the end, it turned out for 13 years. And I guess 13 years, if you wear your clothing just three times a day for short periods, I guess it doesn't get worn out. And Rav Kook is going to deal, first of all, with the obvious question. Who cares? Why is it significant that the Gemara tells us that they put on their clothing in honor of prayer? What does that have to do with the storyline of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai hiding out in the cave? You know, and it's an interesting side point, but the Gemara usually doesn't waste words. And here it goes into detail of what they did with their clothing, when they wore it, when they didn't wear it, while they were learning Torah all day, they were covered up to their necks with sand, and davka they put on their clothing when they davened. And the question is, what is the symbolism here? And the second question is that clothing is obviously for man and not for God. God knows what we look like, and if we put on our clothing to cover our nakedness from other people, why do we have to do so from God? And if we have to do so from God, why didn't they wear their clothing also when they were learning Torah. All right, when you learn Torah, the Shekhinah, the godliness is with you as well. So these are some of the questions that Rav Kook is going to deal with. And he says as follows. Hatfilah, paragraph Aleph, Hatfilah yeshla im haregesh kvar esek. All prayer is directly connected to emotion. We all know that when you daven, you're not supposed to just say the words. Somebody who just prays like a robot, his prayer is not like prayer. And the Gemara says, Rachmana libabai, that God wants your heart when we pray. And also Chazal tell us that the prayer of women is especially effective. And one of the reasons is because women are more emotional. It's easier for them to activate their emotion for when they pray. So this idea that tefillah is connected directly with emotion, that's very clear. Umemela, and because tefillah is connected with emotion, yesh la gam ken yachas el chayim achevrutiim. Prayer is also connected with one's social life, society, right? The idea that women are also more emotional and also more social, it goes together. The idea that prayer is a verbal expression. And we all know that girls learn to speak at an earlier age than boys, and in general, women can express themselves better than men do. And so the idea of the connection between prayer and society is very clear. Not only that, we don't just pray for ourselves. We've all davened from the Siddur and noticed that the prayer is worded in Lashon Rabim, in the collective, in the plural. And even if a person has in mind that he's thinking of what I need, the Siddur is very clear that we are praying for the needs of all of Am Yisrael. The classic example is that even now, this time of year, a Jew in Australia does not need rain. It's their summertime, it's not their wintertime. Nevertheless, the Jews, even in the southern hemisphere, pray for rain in the land of Israel because prayer is something collective. Rav Kook has a beautiful explanation in Olat Re'iyah, in his commentary on the Siddur, on the prayer book, where there's a halakha, the Gemara, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, tells us that where you daven, you should daven near windows. And Rav Kook explains, the common explanation is that you look up in the heavens and be in awe of God, and remember before whom we are standing. But Rav Kook explains that you're supposed to daven by a window in order to know what's going on outside the window. What's going on outside in the world? What's going on with Am Yisrael? If we're having elections, if we're having problems, if things are good, if there's rain, if there's not rain. And the idea of praying near a window is that how can you pray if you don't know what is going on in the outside world? That's how Rav Kook explains it. And if so, we see there's a very clear connection between prayer and mankind. Alken, society. Alken. Rak az ayu yicholim lefi Roma amadam. When Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his son, when they prayed and they were on a high spiritual level, lishtamesh b'maaseh yedei adam, that is when it was also suitable for them to use clothing which was man-made. All week round, when they were learning Torah, they would be covered in sand, which is a godly thing, because they were learning the godly Torah. But when you pray, that is when you are connected with the society. Even Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, who were hiding in the cave, and they didn't have anything to do with society, Rav Kook is explaining that the idea of them wearing clothing, which is something that you do as part of society, right? That's what separates us from the animal world, one of the things, right? That we walk around in clothing. So the idea of being part of society, even when you're not with the tzibur, even when you're not in shul, even when you're davening in your own home, you should remember to be connected with society. And part of the idea is by wearing clothing. Utvuat charoshet ma'asit. And the outcome of the man-made clothing. Sheitila chevra im kol migraote ala adam, hitzrich li zakek kol kach lechaye sha'ah. Mankind, society, needs the physical world. And that's what we pray for. And that is why Rav Kook explains why Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his son had to wear their clothing when they were praying. And that is an essential part of prayer, to be connected with society. Even though society sometimes brings a person down, the idea of prayer is connected with social norms. Paragraph bet. Omnam. Biromemuta ma'ala, yesh ilui l'chaye achevra. And when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son are on a high spiritual level, when they are praying, then they can see the higher level of society as well. Ad shetuchal latim gam ken ela muskalot hayoter kedoshot ve'elyonot, so that then they could connect also with the higher ideas of society, even when they go back to learning their Torah. Vayu lifamim yecholim liyot nisharim b'matzav shel efsharut ha'shimush ha'chevruti yahu gam ken achar ha'tfila, that even after they finished praying and they would take off their clothing, that high level, spiritual level that they reached during prayer, could continue afterwards. Kol zman she'or ha'regesh ha'elohi shal yedei ha'sechel hit'ala b'ma'ala yoter nizgava ad she'yachol la'atim el kol ha'tzadim she'b'chayim ba'ofen na'eh. Part of the idea of prayer is that it elevates a person and his surroundings and his society to a higher level. And again, this is what we want to remember, what Rav Shimon bar Yochai wants to remember, when Davka, he dresses as if he's about to be with people in the cave, even though he's not going to be with people in the cave. Paragraph Gimel. Aval zeh ha'ilui, this rising spiritually, אבל זה העילוי בעצמו, היה מלמד להיות שומר את הדברים המלאכותיים, הצרכים, שמירה דווקא בזמן היותר מוכרח, שהוא שעת התפילה. Nevertheless, Rav Kook here is going to explain the other side of the coin. Why דווקא did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son just wear their clothing during the time of prayer? The most obvious reason is to honor the prayer. That's why when we pray, you know, you're allowed to learn Torah barefoot or in shorts or in your pajamas. But when you pray to God, you should wear dress as if you are approaching the king. And again, the king doesn't need our respect, but it is good for us and our prayer. So when a person is elevated to a high level during his prayer, that is when he can even elevate the artificial, man-made aspects of life, the clothing, as opposed to nature, which we've learned many times, that Rav Kook stresses that nature is godly. And so that clothing, which is man-made, in general, should be on a lower level than that which is natural, that which is godly. Ve'az ayu nishmarim gamken, but Rav Kook is telling us that the fact that they saved the clothing for tefillah, mipnei shehayu ne'otim el ha'matzav ha'nafshi shelahem az, because then they would be on a high enough level to elevate even the man-made aspects of life, the clothing. Paragraph Dalit. Aval bechule yoma, havu meshalchim manayu ki hechi dilo livlu. But every day, when they finished praying, they would take off their clothing, and again, cover themselves up to the neck in sand. Biyotam bizmana girsa, when they were learning Torah, na'ali mikol shituf chevruti, vitzorech litnai, vitzorech litnai achayim hanehugim. When they are learning Torah, they are above society. They are above this world. And therefore, they don't need to be wearing that society-dictated clothing. At that time, lo tikon gamken ashmira bibgadim. They don't need to watch over their clothing. Shem itzlam az lo motar v'torach. That they are considered sort of a luxury. Now, this idea of Rav Kook's view of clothing, he elaborates on in another piska that we're going to do today, in his commentary on Masechet Brachot, on Daf Samach Bet Amud Bet, where the Gemara tells us the following story. The Gemara, the Navi, if you remember from the book of Samuel, it tells us that Saul, King Shaul, is chasing after David. And he's jealous of David. He's jealous of the popularity of David. Maybe he has a feeling, an intuition that David is going to be the next king. And David doesn't want to fight back. Shaul, King Saul, is the king of Israel. And you don't want to fight the king of Israel. You have to respect the king of Israel. So, on the other hand, David wanted Shaul to know that I could have killed him. When David sees Saul go into the cave to do his needs, to go to the bathroom, David cuts Shaul's clothing, which apparently he took off in order to do his needs. And then when he got dressed again, he saw that somebody had sliced his clothing. And it was very clearly David. And he understood that David could have killed him, but didn't want to. Nevertheless, Chazal take the opportunity to tell us, even though it was very nice of what David did, Chazal teach us in the Gemara that you should respect your clothing. You shouldn't just throw clothing on the ground. And it teaches us from this, where it says, David vayichrot et kanaf ha-me'il, that David, King David, this was before he was king, cut King Saul's clothing. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, kol ha-mevazeh et ha-begadim leguf eino ne'aneh mehem. Whoever does not honor the clothing for the body, he in the end will not benefit from the clothing. Shene'amar, as it says about King David, 40 years later, Vamelch David zaken veichusu bibgadim veichasu bibgadim velo yechamlo, and he could not be heated. He was always cold. Interesting medically what a problem that is, where a person is always cold. And they brought in Avishaga Shunamit, and she didn't succeed in warming him up. And they brought him many, many clothing, and all the clothing and the blankets could not warm David up. And Chazal tell us that this was a punishment, that the clothing didn't help him, as a punishment for the fact that he did not honor the clothing of Shaul. Rav Kook explains as follows. Kol ha-na'ot ha-enoshiyot shenikvu'u bishvil shnei minei to'aliyot. All of the benefits and pleasures of man really have two aspects to them. Bishvil toelet mugshemet ligamrei, kitzorchei achomer apashut, shebehem adam shaveh lechol balei chayim. The first reason why a person needs to eat, why a person needs to sleep, why a person needs clothing, is to keep warm. And just like an animal, these needs for clothing by an animal's, they grow their own clothing, they grow their own wool to stay warm. And the fact that they sleep and the fact that they eat, a person has similar needs regarding his physical being. Ubishvil to'elet sheyesh baroshem shel she'er ruach ha'adam. On the other hand, the second aspect of physical pleasure that a person has is as a human being. Like the Rambam stresses in Shmoneh Prakim, yeah, animals eat and we eat, but you cannot compare the eating of a human being to an animal. Human beings want companionship when they eat. They enjoy candlelight dinners when they eat. They don't just eat the grains of wheat, but they grind it and mix it with water and bake it. And man's eating is not like the way an animal eats. The same thing with man's sleep. An animal, whenever he's tired, he just plops down and goes to sleep. A man has a bed, has blankets, gets himself ready for sleep. And even though it seems similar, it's not the same thing. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. The same thing with clothing. Animals also need to keep warm. But there is a second aspect of clothing that is unique for people. Ra'ui tamid la'kir she'yesoda davar v'ikaro, hi'ota ha'to'elet she'yesh ba yitaron la'adam ba'asher hu adam. Rav Kook here is giving us a general rule that even though there are two aspects to every physical pleasure, that which is similar to the animalistic need, and that which is a human, on a human level, Rav Kook says we should always focus on the human difference, the way humans eat, and humans sleep, and humans dress. Paragraph Bet. Habgadim asuyim letachlit hagana min hakor. The goal of clothing is to protect us from the cold. Zoti tachlitam apshuta, shegam kol balei chayim yachushu ken. Animals also need to keep warm in the winter. Vehem yeterim alav. And as a matter of fact, regarding this aspect of clothing, animals even have an advantage. Sheyesh lehem hagana zo betivam, halevush hativi shelahem, oram usa'aram, otzmaram uchiyotzebo. An animal's hair or wool, it's actually built in. You could say as far as the animalistic aspect of dress is concerned, they even have an advantage over people because they grow their clothing. You could say the same thing, by the way, about food. The animals have an advantage over people that they don't have to cook it. They don't have to grind it. They don't need refrigeration. They don't need microwaves. They just eat out of the garbage and they're happy. So to a certain extent, that's an advantage over human beings. Rav Kook is pointing out, again, that there are two aspects of physical pleasure. Regarding the animalistic pleasure, animals even have an advantage. Od yesh yitaron la'adam shemanahem mechabdoteha. Hakavod hanimshach miabgadim she'adam mitader bahem betor adam ha'ma'ala haraui lo lefi yitrono asichli. So if so, what is the advantage of man over animal when it comes to dress? It is that he can express an ideology. Just like there's a saying, you are what you eat. There's a saying, you are what you wear. When a person expresses the ideology, for example, of modesty, or some people want to express their wealth, people want to express their humility. Okay. Different people, human beings, can express themselves in choosing these clothing or that clothing, this fashion or that fashion. And these are things that a person has to make a conscious decision, and this is the aspect of clothing, the idealistic aspect, where a person is on a totally different planet than animals. And this is what we should stress. Also, when it comes to eating, not to eat like an animal, but to eat like a human being. To eat with people, to have a nice family meal, candlelight on Shabbat, etc., etc. Paragraph Gimel. Alken, ra'ui l'chabed et habgadim. Therefore, the Gemara tells us that we should honor the clothing. And David HaMelech was wrong for cutting the clothing. You know, sometimes when you have, something spills, and you have to clean it up, and you don't want the water just to keep spreading out. You all know that problem. If you don't dry up the water right away, it just spreads and spreads. Sometimes you're looking for the first thing that you can find in order to dry it up. So you find yesterday's t-shirt, yesterday's shirt. So you grab it, and you throw it down, and you use it as a shmata, as a rag. Chazal say, no, you should not do that. Because a person should honor their clothing. Why? Ra'ui l'chabed et habgadim. Why should we honor our clothing? Lahorot she'adavar ha'ikari. To teach us that the main point regarding clothing, b'mtziut habgadim la'adam, hu b'shvil kvodo u'malato. The main aspect of clothing is the second aspect, the human aspect, the idealistic aspect, where a person expresses who I am. Not the animalistic aspect. And that is the symbolism why we should not degrade, why we shouldn't treat our clothing with disrespect. Why? Because the whole idea of clothing is to add respect to human beings as opposed to animals who have the first aspect of clothing, they want to keep warm, but they don't have the second aspect of clothing. The idea that animals do walk around without clothing, man does not. Man expresses his honor through clothing, right? Whether you're dressed like a king, whether you're dressed like a rabbi, whether you're dressed like a professor, whether you're dressed like a doctor. There are different ways of dressing that transmit honor. Umipnei hatam ha'ikari hazeh, nizdamen gam ken ha'echreach ha'tivi, she'adam tzarich lebgadim gam ken la'gana mitzina. Here Rav Kook is saying something very interesting. That the reason why God made us need clothing is in order that we should use clothing in the honorable sense, to add honor to our Tzelem Elokim, to our spark of God. Omnam im lo haya tzorech musari bibgadim. If there was no idealistic reason for clothing, an honorable reason, lo haya kedai sherak hagana min hatzina techayev et metziutam. Ukvar haya adam yachol lechiyot be'aklim kazeh she'en bo tzorech chushi bibgadim. If it were just to be like animals, right, human beings, we have cars, we have boats, we have airplanes, we could all travel to Los Angeles to live in a nice warm climate. Florida, a lot of my grandparents, they moved down to Florida for the winter, and afterwards all year round, right? So if the idea is of clothing is just to stay warm, we could just go to Florida, or lahavdil Eilat, and we wouldn't need clothing. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists that man in most situations, you can't go around without clothing. Why? Because what's really important is the higher aspect of the clothing, the honorable, the godly aspect of the ideals that a person is transmitting when he dresses. Paragraph Dalet. We're skipping a little because we want to finish up. V'chol mezalzel bo be'erko ha'musari. If somebody degrades clothing, he says, who cares what I dress like? I can walk around like a schlump. You remember the hippies in the 60s? They made an ideology of walking around like schlumps with worn out, faded jeans and tattered jeans. Right? If somebody deals with clothing like that, degrading them, shel abgadim lo yamalu abgadim et tu'udatam. He has to remember that clothing is not just something to cover your nakedness. There is an ideological, many ideological messages. Now, obviously, Rav Kook here is also referring to modesty and the laws of tzniut, that certain parts of the body have to be covered according to halacha. But what Rav Kook is doing with this topic is he is stressing, we don't just dress according to halacha because you have to cover your elbows or you have to cover your knees, but because we believe that dress is an ideological statement, where part of the ideological statement is, I'm not an animal. And part of the ideological statement is, I want people to judge me as a person and not just for my body. And all of these messages are connected with the fact that the Torah also gives us halachot regarding clothing. Rav Kook goes on at the end of the paragraph, Ve'erech ha-mitzvot ha-tluyim ba'em ketzitzit ve-kilayim she-me'agdim et ha-tzad ha-kavodim et tzad ha-ana'a she-ba'em. God in his Torah united both aspects of clothing. Here Rav Kook is doing something ingenious. In the laws of Kilayim, most of you are aware that you're not allowed to wear clothing which is made of tzemer and pishtim, wool and linen, which are interwoven. Now, what is the definition of Kilayim, that type of wool, linen clothing that's prohibited? The Rambam stresses, only if you were wearing it to protect you from the cold or from the heat, right? Sometimes you wear clothing so that you don't get sunburned. Sometimes you wear clothing because it's cold. In other words, the definition of clothing is that it is something that you need, something which we have in common with the animals even, because they also need to keep warm. For example, what's the nafkamina, the practical ramification? If a person is a model, and it's just modeling clothing, say a person is a model, and their boss asks them to model Kilayim clothing, you are allowed to wear it, because you're not wearing it for the cold or for the heat, you're wearing it just to model. In other words, and the same thing with the Hilchot Tzitzit, the only time a cloth is obligated in tzitzit is if it is a cloth for wearing. If you have a four-cornered garment which isn't used for wearing, it's exempt from tzitzit. Rav Kook is explaining beautifully that the idea that the halacha, the Torah here, intertwines the animalistic need of clothing to keep warm together with the idealistic spiritual aspect of clothing, of the mitzvot, kilayim, tzitzit, modesty, in order to show us that the two really go together. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to need clothing, but the main point is to elevate them to a spiritual level, like the kilayim, like the tzitzit, like the tzniut, the modesty, like the ideals behind our dress.
And can I interrupt with a question, please?
Sure.
You said that if it's not meant to be clothing, if it is a beged but isn't meant to be worn, then it doesn't need tzitziot, then what about a talit?
Oh, so a talit, it's a good question. Today, the talit that we wear is a religious clothing, right? People don't walk around wearing a talit. But the truth is, if it is not comfortable, if it's not wearable, then it really is exempt. And the original talitot, if you look, for example, by the Ethiopian Jews or the Yemenite Jews, their talitot are not quote-unquote religious clothing. Because what you're saying is a very interesting point. Theoretically, if a cloth is just a religious clothing, it would be exempt. For example, I don't know if any of you have ever seen in a Reformed temple, they have these scarves, a talis that looks like a scarf. Has anybody seen that in the Reformed temples?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So that really is exempt from tzitzit because it doesn't cover the body. And the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to make a bracha on it because it's not a beged. So it's a very good question what you're asking. And when you do buy a talit,
walks around with a blanket around their shoulders. Obviously, it's a four-cornered garment, but it isn't a garment; it's a blanket, so it doesn't need.
Oh, so right? So that's a fantastic question. A blanket, if you wear it at night, is very clear. Night is not the time to wear tzitzit. The Gemara says that we learn from Uri Temoto that only the time where you could see during the day do you have to wear tzitzit. So a ksut laila, a blanket which is designated to be worn at night, is exempt from tzitzit. But if you wrap around, for example, during a blackout, right, say there's no heat and you're really cold, and I know in Beit El and Kochav HaShachar, sometimes we have blackouts in the winter, and you're looking for, you wear a blanket, then for men, if it is made out of wool, and you're doing it to keep warm, you really are obligated in tzitzit. So what you have to do in a case like that is to round out one of the four corners. It's not a very common case, but your question is a good question. But the question comes up, I don't know if you people have seen a lot of groups, students, when they go to Europe and the kids, you know, they feel very Zionist and nationalist and patriotic when they march through the death camps with the Israeli flag. And sometimes they wear them tied around their neck. Have you seen that? So that is a very big question. And I saw a machloka between Rav Yaakov Ariel and Rav Shlomo Aviner, whether you have to round out one of those corners in order to wear them. One of them says, yeah, if you're wearing it, so a man has to round out one of the corners. The other opinion is, no, but you're not wearing it as to protect yourself from the heat or from the cold. It's not clothing. And according to that, it really is exempt. So those are the two dayot. But those are good questions.
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
If you wear the tzitzit and the blanket on top of it, so you don't have to put the tzitzit on the blanket.
No, you still do. You still do. Because even if you wear 10 pairs of tzitzit, every four-cornered garment of a man needs tzitzit. There was Rav Pinchas Scheinberg of the last generation. They said that he used to wear 100 pairs of tzitzit. He looked like he was always wearing shoulder pads. That, I don't know, some kind of Kabbalistic idea. But you know what? It's interesting. I never thought of it. By that 100th pair of tzitzit, it really isn't clothing anymore because it makes you too hot and it doesn't protect you from the cold. And so maybe it would be exempt from tzitzit because it's not really clothing. Interesting.
I also want to make an observation. When you said that, Rav Kook said that if you pray, you have to pray by a window.
Yeah.
My idea to pray by a window is that your prayers will